Stuff Is Reddit podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good. Aiden. Brown. Got it. Shot a three.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. My name is Ben Vallis, aka Brutal Gash. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. Today we're joined by a very special guest, Fongos, who is a huge part of Celtics Reddit and Celtics internet lore. His YouTube channel is hilarious and very, very popular, and he joined us to talk about the devastating departure of Daniel Theis, the signing of Evan Fournier, and much, much more. Check out our feed on Sunday as well, because we'll have Tom Westerholm of Boston.com and the Genotime podcast coming on for a full trade deadline breakdown. But for now, here's Fongos. All right, welcome back. We're here, of course, with Larbird33, but we're also very excited to welcome the world's number one Jonas Jerebko fan and the world's number two Daniel Theis fan, Fongos. Welcome, man. How's things?
That's right. And I'm also the number three Shemi fan, so don't forget that.
Of course. How could I forget? But, how's things, man? How you doing?
Yeah, no, things aren't that great. I don't know if you guys have been, I don't know what you guys have been looking at. Maybe you've been on Reddit, but Daniel Theis has been traded. And, you know, I thought this was going to happen at the end of the season. But here we are, and I'm still, bear with me, because I'm trying to come to terms with it, but, yeah,
it's a rough 16 hours, man. You know, you had said something on Reddit where it was like, in your mind, he hits that three-pointer. Does he even get traded if that happens? You can't trade him 16 hours after a game winner against the Bucks, right?
People might have been kind of upset if, I mean, they would have been more upset. I feel like Danny would have just done it anyway.
He probably would.
But
he's a monster.
He is a monster. I mean, dude. Anyway, yeah. I was living in my own world, and I was just imagining that shot going in. I literally tried to change universes. I tried so hard to get my brain, like my third eye.
Yeah.
To just, you know.
Yeah, you live in this, in the multiverse could have split off right there, and you could be living in a world where he's just celebrated as a hero of the Bucks game. And here we are in this splinterverse.
That would have been so. Can you guys imagine if he nailed that shot? Oh my god.
Saves his career as a Celtic, living in a new plane of reality.
I feel like your YouTube should have just split off at that point and just continued on like he made that shot. You just, you know, you add one of your explosion effects on top of there and just celebrate it.
Daniel Theis game winner.
You know what I was going to do? I was going to put that, the first game of the season where Tatum hit that bank shot, I was just going to edit that in, even though it was like the completely different direction.
And just you should delete your video from today where you're having a meltdown and just pretend just pretend it happened. I feel like in case anyone's listening and doesn't know who Fongos is, I mean, he's a legend of Reddit. You are, you know, your videos are absolutely hilarious. Your YouTube channel, I mean, you have like 20 times the amount of followers I do on my YouTube channel just because you post about Jerebko and Theis.
Yeah, but, right.
Weird. Your videos are legitimately hilarious, and I've got questions for you, because I've got theories, and I've always wanted to know certain things.
All right, yeah, I'm ready.
So I'm going to give you three names. Like, listen, you don't have to tell me your whole story, but I'm going to give you three names. All I want to know, you don't have to confirm who particularly,
okay,
but I just want to know, are you also one of these other people? Is that fair? You don't have to tell me the certain person.
Yeah, just let me take a little whiskey shot here. I wasn't gonna do this, but now that Theis is traded, I gotta break. I gotta break code.
One second. So much mystery around Fongos. But
all right.
Okay.
Let's go. Cheers.
Okay. Three names. I just want to know if you're one of these other people. Okay. The first one is Banner 18 Boogie. The second one is Janos, famous Twitter user. And the third one is Scouts Honor, who might not be as popular, but I've always had suspicion. Are you one of those three people?
I am not one of those three people, but for a while I thought I might have been Banner 18, or I thought people might have thought that I was him. And then the Janos, is that guy even still like active right now?
he pops up every once in a while. Everyone's convinced he's Danny Ainge.
That's kind of what I do.
Listening to you right now, I'm pretty sure you're not the same person as Danny Ainge. But
I mean, I could have a voice modulator on. There's no way of knowing.
I am curious to, like, you know, before we did this call, you told me that you have this, you know, we're getting the logistics of this setup, and you told me you have a nice microphone, and obviously your YouTube channel, your videos are genuinely good. Do you do video other than that channel? Like, it's almost too good for it just to be the Daniel Tice Drebko.
No, I mean, nothing else that ever took off. Like, I just kind of do my own art that, like, doesn't get views. And the only way I've ever gotten views is, like, memeing on something and then, like, trying to beat it to death and then getting people to rally around it somehow. That's happened. I've done that, like, a few times in, like, different mediums. But, yeah, I mean, I've got just one other channel and I just went to school for it. But, and, like, I work in tech, so nice. I just work with computers, so that's about it.
I love that the skills and the talent are so, like, finely honed and focused on Daniel Tice and previously I just had a mental blank. Jonas Drebko. Thanks. Is that now being honed directly and focused on Semi Ojeleye, or, like, we're bringing in a reliable white European player in Evan Fournier? Is that going to be an easy transition for you?
Man, that's a good question, because I don't know. I think I'm just going to go on the Shemmy train, because I don't really have faith in Mo Wagner and I didn't even know it at the time, but the oh my God, what's the other dude's name? I didn't even know he was in the league. Luke Cornett.
Yeah.
He was just like
that guy.
Man, where did he come from? And I saw the highlights where he, like, hit some threes or something, and I've watched Bulls games. I'd honestly never seen that dude, or maybe it just slipped my mind. So I think, like, the answer to that question is, like, I'll have to wait, see what, like, Fournier.
Yeah, so your YouTube channel is a free agent, so, you know, they can start, you know, maybe trying to woo you a little bit.
that would be great. That would be really great.
Hey, Shemmy already knows you. Now's your time.
Shemmy already knows who you are, right? Didn't he, like, I saw he did a live stream where he was actually watching one of your videos. That was pretty amazing.
Dude, the first time he found the channel and he was looking at it and, like, Drebko and Tice, like, staring right at him, I could tell he got freaked out. And that made me really upset, because I was like, no, dude, you gotta watch it. Like, just watch one video, please, please, please. Like, it's not what you're thinking. Like, I know what he's thinking. And by the way, it doesn't have to be, like, a white European guy. I chose Tice, and we can go into that later if you guys want, but
good to know.
Me choosing Tice was just, like, it was just, like, a random signing. I'm like, okay, this dude's, like, no one knows who he is. I'm just gonna take a gamble on him. And then we had him for, like, 3.5-4 years, so, I mean, it turned out pretty good.
So what is the criteria there? Because one could be forgiven for thinking there's a very particular player archetype that your channel focuses on, with Drebko coming before Tice. So what's the criteria there, if anything?
I guess just underdog players who end up being sick and people kind of nice. Sleep on for a while.
Uh-huh. I think Falls probably idea. A little too on the nose then, I think, right?
Taco would be too memeable. I mean, I love Taco. Like, making a Taco video would be really great, I think, but I don't know. I think I'm gonna wait and then see if we re-sign Tice in the summer, because we will, and then once that happens, then we can just go back to Tice and everything will be good, and I don't have to make videos for the fucking Bulls. Oh, sorry. Can I curse on here, or do you guys want me to
go, go nuts? This is an unregulated production. Go nuts.
Okay.
Can we get into the deals that happened today, or is it too soon, Fungos?
No, let's talk about it, because I've got some questions for you guys, because I don't understand, like, how the luxury. I understand it's like a money thing, but I don't understand how that works and why Danny did what he did. Like, can you tell me why?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Flybird, how's your cap and your tax knowledge, be able to jump in there? I did a little bit of research in the time that I had, but I'm pretty skimp on those details still.
Do you want to maybe just recap the trades first, and then we can kind of get into a little bit more of the details?
Yeah, so sticking with the Tice end of the deal, so the summary there is the Wizards got Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson from the Bulls. The Celtics get Luke Kornet and Mo Wagner or Wagner. I don't know. Bulls get Daniel Tice, unfortunately. Javonte Green and Troy Brown Jr. plus $1.3 million from Boston and $250K from Washington. They did. He's gone. And, Tatum had like an IG post on it earlier today. Like, oh, Javonte, my right hand man, he's gone. Like, we're still close. But, so clearly there's like an effect on Tatum there as well. That's the summary of the deal there with Tice gone. And our center rotation kind of looks like Tristan Thompson and Robert Williams, of course. But now we've got Mo Wagner and Luke Kornet there. So like somehow we're deeper at the center, but, the rotation there looks confusing. I don't know, Larbert, what do you envision our center rotation looking like now that this trade has gone down?
Well, I said this on Reddit, and I gotta be honest, when I first heard that we were bringing in Mo Wagner, I had this vision of it being a cross between Mo Williams and Dwan Wagner. So I had to Google him, and it wasn't at all what I expected.
No.
I was like, oh, we're getting a little guard? Who's this guy?
Yeah.
And, sorry, that reaction confused me. So I looked him up, and he's a legit big man, 6'11", and I guess he takes charges and he hustles a lot, and he's 5 years younger than Tice. And this is the end of his contract, so I don't know. He could be one of those guys in particular who I'd assume he's gonna be our third big man behind Thompson and Time Lord, but he's someone that I imagine he'll have a couple hustle plays and instantly will become a fan favorite, and maybe he'll end up being the star of Fungus's channel. So
he could be decent if he does some cool shit and some epic charges. What is he, number one? I was looking that up. He's
and
number
taking
one
charges,
in
yeah,
for taking 36. Charges like yeah okay Mo fine but like
he's a front runner.
I honestly think that like those two guys, like Mo and Luke, are just going to be like, who the hell was I talking to this about? But like, they're just going to be like the Kelly Olynyks and like the Drebkos of the past. Like, we haven't had a dude like that in a while. I feel like a tall, awkward white, like a Tyler Zeller.
Right.
Like, we haven't had a guy like that in a while. So I think if, well, I mean, maybe not Mo, maybe more Luke. But, like, I don't know. It's just we were spoiled with Tice. And honestly, I feel like he makes a lot of good decisions. And I can't say the same thing for Mo Wagner, because he was on the Celtics last year. He was on Wizards. He was on the Lakers last year.
Yeah, drafted by the Lakers and moved over to the Wizards. That's right.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So the dust might not be settled on this entirely. I mean, this is more of a long shot, I guess, but there is. So you asked about the tax thing. So main thing is that we gave up by giving up. Of course, the other trade there is bringing Fournier, and we got rid of Teague and a couple second round picks and used the TPE to absorb Fournier. So by doing both of those trades, we end up giving away Teague, Jeff Green, Tice, and was there someone else? I think it's those three mainly.
Mm-hmm.
So we give up around $9 million, and then we're taking him back, Wagner and Kornet. So we take in about $4.3 million. So that sheds around $5 million. So we have this, the hard cap we were dealing with, and then we also have the luxury tax threshold. And by doing both of those moves, by getting rid of Tice's salary, we are now under the luxury tax threshold by, I think it's anywhere between 1.5 to 3 million. I've been trying to find details as well. We're kind of doing this on the fly, but we're still a couple million under the luxury tax threshold. And the key there is, so what's interesting is if you go to Danger Cart, who's a friend of the show, if you check out his Twitter right now, he's kind of in almost a bigger meltdown than you are, Fungus, because of
he is freaking out.
I saw a couple tweets, and I don't know. I just don't. I guess I don't understand all of it. Yeah, I probably should, because I just can't make sense of all this.
I mean, he's out there and he's like, I cannot express in words how fucked we are right now. So yeah, that's his take on it.
I'm like, why though? Because, okay, so what does that mean if we're like a million below the luxury? Like, what does that mean for me as like a fan? Like, does that mean that we Can that means we can't sign people, or like, does that mean like that's just what I don't get, like the money side and with Wick or whatever, like I don't know, man.
Awesome. So the tax bill is cumulative. So we enter we go above the tax threshold, and then our tax bill accumulates year on year. And even these billionaires, Wick, Grousebeck and the like, have a limit to how much tax they can pay eventually. You know, if we let the tax bill accumulate over a 3 to 5 year period, then they're paying a shit ton of money for a team that, while the Nets and this form of the Lakers are around, might not be bringing us in a championship. So from their perspective as an investment, it might not be a good position to be in. We are under the tax threshold at the moment. And I did some digging. I read through all the tweets and replies and everything from Deja Cart's perspective. And it looks like, yeah, we are somewhere between $1 and $2 million under the tax threshold currently, which is great. But Fournier and Tatum between them have some incentives. So Fournier has a playoff incentive. I believe it's if he makes the second round, he gets an extra $450K. For Tatum, if he makes an all-NBA team, he makes some extra money as well. And if both of those guys hit those incentives, which they're kind of likely to if the team performs the way that we expect them to, then that actually pushes us above the tax threshold. So we begin that cumulative tax bill growth, for lack of a better term, and we do so without really being a competitive team. Like, we're not really a contender, but we're not really waving the white flag either. We're just kind of sitting in mediocrity, for lack of a better term, and yet we stand to maybe pay this tax bill. So I think that's maybe what's triggered the meltdown there from Danger Cart. And it makes sense, because he's like the one guy who actually digs that deep and finds those numbers. But like, from the fan perspective, I'm just fucking excited to have Evan Fournier on the team, right?
Dude, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, like, and for 2 second-round picks, we actually got him cheaply, and it was finally a trade that Danny Ainge was willing to pull the trigger on, because he came cheaply enough. And I think that we can maybe be excited to watch C's games again and have this hole in our bench lineup plugged, right? Presuming that he comes off the bench in the first place. We've actually got some shooting. We've got a little bit of size. I believe he's like 6'7". I don't know. It feels like Jeff Teague's gone. But aside from the whole tax thing, it feels like happy days. I don't know how you guys feel about the Fournier signing. What about you, Fungos?
I really like it, and I would have liked it more if they didn't trade Tice at 3 o'clock my time today. I was blown away by that. I didn't expect them to do shit, and then I looked on wherever I looked, and I saw that. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Oh, two second rounds? Okay. Like, fine. Like, I always, whenever we played the Magic, he always used to annoy me. Because he would destroy us. It seemed like that guy couldn't miss whenever he would play us. I don't know if it was just me, but I was like, I think, like, he's just a good player, man.
Yeah, he's a lights-out shooter.
Yeah.
And we saw it coming, Ben, you know, when I predicted it and I saw it in a vision.
Yeah, man.
You saw it in a vision?
Back in November, I was walking around Gig Harbor, Washington, and I walked by a little shop that said Fournier, and right in the distance, I saw there was a psychic boutique. So I took a photo and I sent it to Ben, and I was like, it's a sign. We're going to use the TB to get Fournier. And sure enough, we did. Of course, you know, I've walked by many Ross Dress for Lesses, and we never added Terrence Ross, so who knows? But yeah, no, I think it was a good thing for sure. I mean, so listen, we've spent a lot of time this season talking about how if you wanted to put players next to Tatum and Brown, the main thing you'd want to get is a small forward who can spread the floor, can hit knockdown shots. This guy's a knockdown shooter. This is a great thing. He averages 20 points this season, you know, 18 last season, and consistently through his career. He's a legitimate, you know, 45% from the field and 38% from three. He can hit free throws. He gets to the free throw line. He's a legit player. This is not like, you know, even with Aaron Gordon, I guess we'll talk about that in a little bit, but even Aaron Gordon, like, yeah, he was a 40% 3-point shooter this year, but it's probably a fluke. He's a career 32% 3-point shooter and can't hit free throws. Like, Fournier is a legit shooter. We're getting someone who's a knockdown shooter. So this is exciting. You know, we could talk about whether or not he'll be an upgrade defensively, but post-injury Hayward wasn't really a upgrade defensively that much either. So I'm not too worried about that. I just think it's a great talent add. So it's from just that standpoint, I mean, it's great. And I'm not really got concerned about the luxury tax thing. That's, you know, we talked about it a little bit there, but But to me, I love Danger Cart. I'd love to get him on the show later, down, you know, down the line. I guess more of his perspective. But personally, it's like, it's not my money. I don't care. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
There's all sorts of routes we can take. They're not, you know, comfortable routes, but you know, we still have Thompson, who's making like $9-10 million next year. We could salary dump him. I know that everyone here loves Marcus Smart, but it's the final year of his contract. Maybe we would look to move him for a guy on his rookie scale. Maybe Kemba gets moved. Like, I don't think that it's the end of the world thing. Someone says, oh, we could be on the White Grossbeck might be paying $80 million on this team in tax next year. And it's like, well, yeah, probably not. And if he does, okay, whatever. It's his money.
Yeah, of all the, like, the awesome things about NBA basketball, the least relatable from the fan perspective is like the tax bill of a billionaire NBA team owner, right? Like, it's really hard to make that connection and feel any sort of remorse or empathy for these guys. Like, who fucking cares? Like, and talking about incentives, there's one incentive should be pay the fucking tax. You want Tatum, you want Brown to stay on your team. You want to show them that you're willing to do anything to put them in a position of contention. Pay the tax, right?
Wait, like, so, if it's gonna, so that's all it is? So yeah, he just has just to money. Pay a tax. Like, it doesn't really affect our team that much.
Well, it's a very expensive tax bill that accumulates every year. And so what championship teams apparently try to do is align that tax bill with their championship window. And so there is an argument that we're getting into potentially this tax bill area and we're not necessarily close to contending for a championship. So, like, the timing is a bit poor. I guess that's where the argument is. But we're not paying that bill, right? We're paying our league pass fees or whatever it is. So that's all we can do.
I think the only thing there that, well, yeah, I mean, the tax, whatever, they're making spend a lot of money. But what you brought up earlier, Brendan, that was interesting because I hadn't thought too much about that. The incentives that we could push us over that threshold this year and start that, you know, multiplier. Paying that tax this year is interesting if they meet those thresholds. It's sort of interesting because right now we have an open roster spot and there's these, you know, sort of rumors that maybe LaMarcus Aldridge or Andre Drummond might be a target. And I wonder if that impacts that, because to this point, honestly, like, the idea of getting an Andre Drummond for like a minimum contract, $1 million, that sounds pretty cool to me. Like, I don't mind that at all. But if you're saying that that's probably going to push us over the luxury tax threshold and cause problems down the line, I think my, you know, thinking about it on the fly, I think my stance is still, I don't give a fuck. Let's get the guys, let's get talent and let's go for it. And they'll figure it out later with the tax situation.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with that.
If we get Andre Drummond, like, is he ahead of or behind Luke Kornet in the center rotation? I just want to know.
I would assume ahead, unless Luke like hits three threes in a row again or whatever he did. I mean, I don't know. Is Andre, like, did he really fall off a cliff that much? I haven't really watched. What is he? Is he on the Cavs?
He's still good. He's still good. He's not good the way we want him to be good.
Right. Yeah, I think I read that he shoots below 50% at the rim, which is insane. Like, for a big man, a guy who presumably, I haven't watched a lot of drama minutes. I have to call it out. I'm not qualified for any of these opinions, but I have them just from being on Twitter way too much. But yeah, he shoots under 50% from the rim. Most of his shots come from putbacks where he's like point blank at the rim, uncontested. And yet still very ineffective and slow and can't shoot. And there's a lot of issues with his game as it relates to how the modern game is played. So
I mean, he gets you like 17 points, 15 rebounds, a couple blocks. So he's basically a poor man's Tice. But
great fantasy player. Yeah, poor man's Tice. It's true.
Everything is a downgrade from Tice. I have been trying to tell people this all day.
Okay. All day. You've been telling us for a couple years now.
I guess so, huh? Oh my gosh. It's been
I want to get to a couple of Reddit comments very quickly and then we're going to move on. So on the Fournier side of things, so user T Nautical wrote 0.560 effective field goal percentage, including 38.8% from three, and he's going to have an actual team around him. So goddamn hyped for this. And user KJE19 writes, does he start and does Smart come off the bench? So I'm curious to hear what you guys think about that, particularly that second comment from KJE19. Evan Fournier, is he going to come off the bench as a bit of a spark plug? Are we going to slot him in as the two guard there and bring Smart off the bench? Fungos, what do you think?
I think he's probably going to come off the bench, at least for the beginning, just because Smart is Smart and he's been here forever. So I imagine, Yeah, I don't think Brad's going to do any weird stuff where he has, like, what would that lineup even look like? Like, Tatum, Brown, Smart, Fournier, and then Luke Kornet or something.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe, but no, I think that Smart's going to start, and then Fournier will probably come in pretty quickly, especially if Smart, like, starts going crazy, then Fournier can come in and actually, like, knock down some shots. That'd be nice.
We can't have Fournier start at center. He's only an inch shorter than Tice.
Damn, is that true?
It's true. Well, listen, like, Tice is 6'8 or something, but my wife, every time he comes on the screen, she calls him arms. He's like, look at that guy. He's just all arms. He's going to hurt someone with those arms. She says that, like, every time she sees him. He was all length, but...
you know, when he started, he had the one sleeve, I think, on his left or right arm, and then he filled the other sleeve. There was a big progression with Tice. A whole history, and now Evan, I guess, maybe he's got tattoos. Anyway, go ahead.
As far as who will start, well, yeah, that's interesting, because, like, I think that if we were talking about who could fill the Hayward role that we lost, and I had a post about this on Reddit, too, but I mean, I was thinking about it. Hayward's obviously an all-star level player. He's having a great season in Charlotte. He's one of our leaders, but if you look at what Hayward was for the Celtics, he was... by default, our fourth option last year. He averaged 17 points. He was still very good, but as we've transitioned more and more to having Tatum and Brown be our primary ball handlers, and now Kemba's transitioning to our third option, I understood why Hayward didn't want to be our fourth option. He would have just been standing in the corner looking for open shots and you know, playing defense, and wouldn't have been able to be utilized to his full extent. Of course, we weren't going to pay him $30 million a year. So if we were talking about how to fill what he left, which is a fourth option who can knock down shots, that to me seems like Fournier. Like, I brought this up on the podcast too in November. I don't know if you have the clip, but Ben, I mean, this was, we talked about Fournier as one of the people that we were having as a TPE target. I thought maybe he would go for a late first, getting him for a couple late seconds or a couple seconds. That's great. So I do see him as someone who could slot into that role and then maybe push Smart back to the bench, or in closeout situations, maybe you have Smart, you know, up there for defense. But Fungus, you're probably right. You probably won't start right away because he's got to get up to speed and we're not really practicing. But I would expect him to be starting. I mean, I see him as someone that you want next to the Jays. You want to have, the whole idea is get, you know, a reliable kickout option for, exactly, so you're not there alone. It opens up, expands the whole game for Brown and Tatum to do more. And that's Fournier. So I'm excited to see him with those two.
So what does our starting lineup look like eventually down the road, once, because I agree with you. I feel like eventually he'll get into that spot. So what would that be like?
Yeah, I think it's probably Kemba starting at point guard. I mean, people are shitting on him still, but if you look at his last 16 games, his stats are pretty much identical, if not better than last season and better than his career stats.
Yeah, he's been doing good lately. I don't get that hate.
Yeah, so you got Kemba back, you know, probably finally off of the minute back-to-back restriction, because that's just we're just doing that as a precautionary thing. So Kemba, and then Brown back to shooting guard, where I think he's been more comfortable. Then probably Fournier at the small forward and Tatum at the power forward and Marcus Smart as the center. I mean, yeah.
I thought you were going to say Luke Kornet for sure. I would have put my house on that.
Definitely Luke Kornet.
Time Lord. This is his moment. Time Lord, you know, we lose Tice, but Time Lord, this is his moment.
Is that
shine,
what this means? It's just,
I think it does.
Time Lord for the rest of the season, huh?
I hope,
like,
so.
See what he's got.
I hope so.
Yeah, so there's a user, LightningFast31, on Reddit who wrote, Tice will be missed for sure, but time for Rob Williams to take the next step. No more Tice to cover him when he isn't playing well. I'm excited to see more Rob Williams. Yeah, I think surely this means, right, that Rob Williams is the starting center. Hopefully that's the case. I feel like the fan base will riot if it ends up being Tristan Thompson. Hopefully Tristan Thompson's backing him up, and then we see Mo Wagner and maybe Luke Kornet as necessary due to foul trouble and stuff like that. But yeah,
or
hopefully
Andre
that's
Drummond.
The case. Or Andre Drummond. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's get Andre Drummond too. Let's have six centers. Yeah.
Fuck it, right? Mark Murphy tweeted out today, maybe the biggest winner here is Marcus Smart. And according to a source, Ainge had assured his guard that he wasn't being offered around, that his name was being brought up strictly by interested teams. Probably a win for Marcus Smart today. His name was circulating quite a lot. And there was, I think it was Kevin O'Connor, said on all these podcasts that Marcus Smart was definitely being traded. Obviously, that's not been the case. And it's kind of nice for Smart, who's the longest tenured Celtic, like, for that vote of confidence to sort of be publicly made for him. But then again, he hasn't been particularly good in the clutch. And I know that that's sort of generated a lot of frustration throughout the fan base. Where are you standing on this, Fongos? Did you want to see Marcus Smart move somewhere? Or are you happy that he's around? Or thoughts in general on Marcus Smart?
Definitely happy that he's still on the team, even though, like, I'm right there with people, like, being pissed off at him in clutch time, especially last night. That annoyed the shit out of me, watching them come back and then kind of just, I mean, I guess Marcus didn't really have, like, many options, but, like, there's gotta be something else that they could do that's not him. But I still think that, especially since he has been on the team for so long, I think it's important to keep him around, because otherwise it's just saying, like, you know, you might as well move some other guys around too, because, like, I don't know. As long as you keep, I can't even say this anymore, but I was going to say keep Tatum, Brown, Smart, I guess Time Lord now, just because he's been epic, and Tice, like, that's, I don't know, that's all... That's all you really need, in my opinion, because I think Smart's really important, but probably mostly on the defensive end. It would have been nice to get those games. I guess it could have gone either way, especially, like, what was the other close one before that? Was the Jazz one close, or did we just get blown out? I can't remember.
Yeah, the score in the end wasn't close, but it was close until the final couple of minutes, until we gave up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Last night, I can't stop thinking about it. And I can't help but blame Marcus, and I think it's epic that at least Danny Ainge
is his fault.
It's all his fault. He passed.
Why did you put
Tyson
in that position? It's your fault, Marcus.
Oh, he was yelling at him on the bench as well. I don't know if you guys saw
that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that people are just like, oh my God, is that why he got traded? Like, it's like people legitimately think, and like, I'm joking, but these people legitimately think that because they argued on the bench and because Tice missed that shot, Danny Ainge was just like, okay, like, it's time to go, Tice. Well, Luke Kornet, come here. Like, we need you, man. Like, no. I think a lot of people saw it coming, and I honestly, like, tried to ignore it. But, yeah, anyway, Marcus Smart, good to have on the team. I think he's a really important player, and I don't think he's due as well on another team. So, I think that, I don't think he would be as much of a culture builder as people think. I think he is, like, the culture of the Celtics team. Not, like, he can't just go to, the Pistons and then, like, turn it around or whatever. So,
yeah. Yeah, any thoughts on that, Lubbard?
Mostly just, I want to give a little defense to Kevin O'Connor. It's another one of those examples where something is said in a podcast or interview, and then it kind of, the words get twisted a little bit on Twitter or Reddit. So
that's fair.
He had never, I don't think, ever said, well, he didn't say that Marcus Smart was definitely going to get traded. I think the actual context of that conversation, they were saying that Marcus Smart knew that his name was in trade talks, but anyways, not a big deal.
Right.
Just want to give love to KOC, but he was like, isn't that Joe's best friend? Anyways,
yeah,
he was a Redditor, right? Or something.
He was a Celtics. Well, he's been on Reddit before, but yeah. He started on Celtics blog, and he used to write like a draft preview. And yeah, I mean, he was very reachable back in the day. I used to exchange emails with him about my fantasy basketball team, and now he's a big shot, but
good for him.
But the Marcus Smart thing, yeah, I'm happy that he's not gone, especially because, I mean, some of the trade rumors that were going out there, or some of the trade suggestions, like trading Marcus Smart plus Nesmith plus, like, multiple first-round picks for Aaron Gordon, I was like, Gordon's okay, but you want, that's like a, Smart for Gordon as is like a sideways move, if not a downgrade. Like, I don't,
yeah.
And then you want to attach, like, our most recent lotto picks and first-round picks. I feel like they're, I mean, we haven't really talked too much about the Gordon thing. There's a lot of fans that seem to be upset about it. I'm not. I feel like he's overrated.
Me either.
I think he's a glorified role player. He's good. Like, 4 years ago, would have been super excited about getting him because we saw him as maybe being like the next Blake Griffin or something. But this point, like, he's 25, 26, and, you know, maybe I'll come to eat these words and have like an all-star season. But as is, it's like, I mean, he's not even what he went for isn't that huge of an offer. He's not that great of an asset. And the fact that he can't shoot, the main thing I wanted was shooting. And he's not a reliable shooter, even though he's shooting 40% from three this year.
What would he do for us? What would he do?
I guess he's switchable and
switchable defense.
Yeah.
Oh, and so he's a good defender. Is that that's what I wasn't clear on if he was or not.
And he can dunk. I mean, people like him. I mean, the reason why he think he's more popular than he should be, considering his level, is because he's like dunk contest famous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. He's just famous. We see him and everyone knows him, but I'm not losing sleep over that. So the fact that we kept Marcus Smart and didn't do something like that, I'm happy with that. I do still think, Noah, Ben, we've talked about it a little bit. I do think that there's a chance we move Marcus Smart in the offseason just because he's in the final year of his contract. And for all the reasons we talked about with the luxury tax and stuff, I 100% am convinced that some team will offer him a stupid contract. They'll be like, yeah, we'll give you $25 million per year to be our starting point guard, especially if he's been coming off the bench in the second half of this season. And then at that point, it's like, do you let him walk? So
what would you pay him?
But then don't you think Ainge preempts that and makes the trade for Aaron Gordon, given that he kind of feels like more of a, not so much a culture need, but a positional need, and he's signed again next year as well? I don't know. Like, if that's a likelihood, don't you think Ainge, preempts that and just goes ahead and trades him instead of the Nuggets trading Gary Harris and RJ Barrett for the same package?
Well, it wouldn't have just been Marcus Smart. That's the thing. We would have had to have given up someone like Neesmith. I mean, there's like a Reddit post where someone's like, man, why would, you know, Neesmith is, he's got to be better than that other thing that they got. But who says that we were at all interested in getting rid of our lottery pick midway through his rookie season when he's had no minutes to do anything? Like, they probably just prefer to keep those guys and keep Marcus and not do that. So this offseason, we probably will have, we'll probably see Marcus Smart's names in trade rumors, especially around the draft, because I think they kind of were doing that in last offseason. They were shopping him around, trying to get someone who had a rookie scale contract. So, I mean, that'll be a bummer when that comes. But for the time being, I love that he's here for our final run. And I do think we'll probably go on a run at some point and be a strong playoff player.
Absolutely. We're going to go on another run. Absolutely. I really think so. We're going to go crazy again, like right before the All-Star break.
So finally here, so Chris Forsberg tweeted, when the dust settles, the cost of acquiring impending free agent Evan Fournier will essentially be 4 second round picks, Daniel Tice, Javonte Green, and Jeff Teague. Celtics take on Wagner, I don't know, I'm not going to figure that out. They duck the tax for now and maybe have slot for a buyout guy and TPEs, always TPEs, which leads to the question, like they have freed up a roster spot here, supposedly to maybe poach someone from the buyout market. Fongos, start with you. Are there any buyout candidates that you're hoping the Celtics pick up?
Honestly, I'm not even sure about that market. If you guys told me who was in there, and like, also, when does that end? Like, there's so much stuff I don't understand, like about how, like, when and how it works. But like, okay, so is that like Otto Porters of the world? Is that like those type
if
of players?
He gets
like
bought out.
Who's available or who would be available? Do you guys think? Because then I could tell you.
I think the three that they've mentioned is Otto Porter Jr. if he gets bought out, and then Drummond and LaMarcus Aldridge. And I don't think any of them have yet picked the team. LaMarcus Aldridge was rumored to be, I guess there was rumors that Boston might be interested in him, and then we've also seen rumors they might be interested in Drummond. So who knows? But those are the three main names, but it could also just be some kind of other role player. Boogie Cousins. Is Boogie Cousins signed?
Like, I don't know. Take one of those guys, man. Like, I like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think he'd, I don't know, I'm sure it'd be situational, but like, he's a vet, man. I don't know. It would add something. It would be better than having like a Tremont Waters or Carson Edwards. And like, now Javonte Green's gone, but like, I don't know. You got to replace something. Are the Bulls, like, is anyone even going to play Teague? Or is he like on the Bulls roster now?
I think he ended up on the Magic, weirdly enough. It was a real maze, a real complex tapestry of movement today. So I still am not completely sure, but I think he ended up on the Magic.
I think they're waving him, or at least I read that.
Get him back.
Well, that was the reaction of a lot of people. I don't think we can actually, just in case anyone's wondering that, I don't think we can do that. I think that's the Gary Payton rule, because Ainge had found a loophole several years ago where he traded Gary Payton to Atlanta, and then they waived him, and then like a week later, Gary Payton was back on the Celtics, and they're like, well, shit, we got to close that loophole. That's some bullshit. So I don't think we can actually get Teague. So sad. Can't get Teague back.
He was playing well at the end, but definitely overall, I don't know. I think it's good to move on. I think Fournier might be an upgrade to Teague, even though slightly different positions, but...
Well, Pritchard played 4 minutes in his last game, so this is a chance for Pritchard to get back into rotation, I guess.
That's true, yeah. What's up with him, by the way? If you don't mind me going all over the place here, but...
This is how we do it. So I heard Danger Cart, tweeting out that that Ainge Billy Beaned Brad Stevens by getting rid of Jeff Teague and keeping Peyton Pritchard on the roster. It's like, man, you just got to play this kid. We just got to see what he is. And now he has no choice, essentially. There's no other backup point guard, really. So, you probably hit a bit of a rookie wall. And, you know, you add in the knee injury that he had as well, where it, like, completely looked like a torn ACL. And then he fortunately came back after a strain 2 weeks later. Hasn't been exactly the same. You know, fatigue is probably a factor. But, like, he's clearly a talented player. And he clearly, being a senior out of college, knows how to play the game and is already pretty mature. So I'm excited for this, like, extra added role by default for Peyton Pritchard. Do you think that's accurate, Labert?
Yeah, and as you were, you know, describing everything, if he actually is dealing with some rookie wall or injury symptoms, that might just be, you know, it might be reasonable to have Marcus Smart get back into that backup guard role where he did kind of flourish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's where this goes, and we just have Fournier starting and Smart's our sixth man, and then Pritchard can be back to that third role again, but behind Smart.
So Fournier's playing on, he's playing tomorrow, right?
It's a good question. I have no idea. I think with COVID and everything, it probably takes longer to make that transition. But I don't know.
Either way, they're not even practicing, right? Like, can we talk about that? Like, because I don't get that. So they're not practicing, and then people are like, "Oh, the Celtics suck." Like, "Oh, what the fuck? I'm so sad." And then it's like, well, they're not practicing, right? Or at least they're not that much. So like. That's where Brad is good, right? Like he's I think he's a good coach for like getting the team together. If they're not able to do that, like what the fuck do they even do? I don't get that.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. How do you tinker and figure out what's going on if you don't even have time to practice? We talked about it a little bit, I think, a couple weeks ago, and we're like, our speculation is it has something to do with how much they had to do their actual COVID tests and the whole protocol and everything, but they're loosening up those restrictions, so presumably in the second half or remaining part of the season, they actually will be able to have practice time. But as far as when Fournier can make his debut, I think they still have to do like medical clearances and all that, and probably like, you know, sign contracts or whatever, but
oh come on. Yeah.
So I don't think he'll be tomorrow. I think he'll be probably the next game.
Well,
unfortunately.
All right, another shot then.
I've just refreshed Celtics Reddit to see if there's any more like content we can glean before we wrap up. And there's a post here by user LZ23 who writes, "Is Luke Kornet the Joel Embiid neutralizer?" I'm not going to go into details here. Like there's some stats and some videos that they've included, but apparently Luke Kornet has like good defensive numbers against Joel Embiid. So go figure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you both. Have you been following the rest of the trade market? It looks like Miami's been making moves. They might add Aldridge and they add Oladipo. Any teams that you're fearing, or at this point where we're so far out of it, we don't really give a shit about other teams. What's your feelings on the rest of the league?
The Bulls, honestly, now, like, I think with Vucevic and Tice, I mean, come on, dude. They have to, like, they have to stay good. Like, there's no way they get worse now. So, and I mean that genuinely. Like, I think, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll be behind the standings from Chicago as well, I guess. So.
Yeah,
we might face Tice in the playoffs.
Don't say
we're only a game and a half ahead Chicago. This is actually plausible. You're right, this could happen.
Although terrible. I think Jonas Jerebko is a free agent as well. So, you know, perhaps, you know, we can
just sign him. What's the vet minimum? $1 million? Like, oh no, the taxes. Just fucking sign him. If he wants to come back, you get him back on the team. I mean, if you're going to sign Luke Kornet, you might as well re-sign Jerebko, dude. Come on.
Does that make it all worth it if we use our open roster slot for Jonas Jerebko?
We have an open roster slot?
Well, yeah, that's the idea. That's why we potentially could have some from the buyout market because of the slot. So, yeah, maybe Jerebko's the guy.
Wait, I thought that Mo, Fournier, and whatever, I thought they filled it.
So we got rid of Javonte Green as well and Jeff Teague. And so I think we end up with a free roster spot as a result. I think we sent out more players than we acquired. So we have one spot remaining.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The math, I think, is three in, three out. There was a... Who's the other guy? We actually might not have an open roster spot.
Yeah, I thought it was... Yeah, I thought we got rid of three and then we got three back.
I don't know.
I feel like I'm forgetting someone.
Am I psychotic?
Troy Brown Jr., but I don't think he's taking up a roster spot. Who is Troy Brown Jr.? Who's that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, this seems like a detail we should have figured out before we started recording. But I did read that we did free up a roster spot, and therefore we are potentially buyers in the buyout market. So I guess bringing it back to the buyout market, just to go full circle there, yeah, Otto Porter Jr., if he does get bought out, right, like to get him in and to take up the, no offense, Fongos, but to take up the Semi Ojeleye minutes or some of them could be...
No offense taken.
Could be impactful for our team, could be helpful for our team. Yeah, I don't know.
Semi's still, he's still going to have to play, for sure. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to come in. I think he's a great defender, and I think he's a good guy. Really huge... huge Chemi fan, and he is in the front runner to being the next person I make videos about. But I might, since I am a Celtics fan and I hate going over, I shouldn't say hate, but it's difficult to go to other subreddits and be like, hey, hi, here I am. Here's like my weird videos. Like, what's up, guys? And then I have to explain myself, and then people are asking me, like, oh, are you still going to be a Celtics fan? Like, yes, I just am a Celtics fan. So, I'd like to not stand like one player and maybe just stand the team, but I don't think that'll work. Like, I'm going to have to choose somebody, but Semi's definitely a front runner, and Fournier number two, and Mo number three. I mean, he's German, you know, but we'll have to see.
Just to put a cap on what we were just talking about with the open roster spot. We did end up sending three players and taking back three players, but I think the assumption was that Kornet or someone like Waters might get cut, and that would open up the spot.
Even if we
cut one of those guys, we could still technically have money under the luxury tax threshold. But then again, of course, if those incentives kick in, like Danger Cart was mentioning, that could screw that up. But
yeah,
I don't know. If we have the chance to add a tangible talent via minimum contract via the buyout market, I imagine that we will do that.
Yeah, I'll miss Luke Kornet when he's gone. I've grown to love him in the several hours that we've had him on the roster. I don't know what it is. I feel like he's a super memeable player.
He might have to be the one, man. I didn't even know, like, when I made my video of my reaction, I didn't even know about Luke Kornet. Like, I didn't see that part of the trade. Like, I guess everything I was reading did mention that, and then I looked him up and I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah. Hi, Luke. He fits the bill. Larbird, you touched on it very quickly there. Our rivals, our immediate rivals, made some pretty solid acquisitions. George Hill to the Sixers, Bielitsa and Oladipo to the Heat. Larbird, are you bothered?
Damn.
Yeah, I know. There's a guy that I really wanted us to get, sort of big shooting guy, maybe replace Grant Williams or something like that. But I don't know. Are you guys bothered by these acquisitions, or given our trajectory this season, do you not really care?
A little bit, because I mean, prior to the season, when we were looking at how do you fill out, how do you get some shooters around the Jays, because they need people to pass to that can actually hit shots. It's all those guys. So it was like Seth Curry and George Hill both end up on the Sixers, which were like the two guys I had mentioned in that article. And then And then you have Bielitsa, who's another one that I had mentioned, and now he's going to another rival. I mean, that it stinks a little bit, but you know, we're in this position right now where we're 2 games under .500, and really it's just like focusing on how we get back on track and come playoff time. Will be dangerous. Like, that doesn't really factor too much into it. It's not like, oh crap, we would have beat Philly had not they added George Hill. It's just like, well, yeah. Let's just get our shit together and see how it goes. And you know, they only have one basketball. They're gonna be tough because of Embiid, but not because of George Hill.
Hey, were you guys even expecting to get Fournier? Because I hadn't heard anything about it, and I just heard like Gordon and Vucevic, like, you know, a few weeks ago or whatever, people were talking about it. I didn't hear anything about Fournier. So like that, I think just that's a me. Pretty...
It was prophesized just, by La Bud.
Just his prophecy, man. That was crazy.
We joke about it, but I mean, honestly, he wasn't really someone that I saw much written about. It was just...
Yeah.
Genuinely, I was just looking at like who's a small forward, who can shoot, and who fits under the TPE. And I'm sure other people had come up with the same suggestions because we were just making a list of players. But I mean, Fournier was one of like the first people I mentioned of... If we're going to use a TPE this season, it makes sense because he's in the final year of his contract. And there was already rumors that Orlando wasn't going to keep him. So, yeah, he was on my radar this whole time. But I had him very much on my radar as a he's a fallback option. If you can't get Barnes, if you can't get anyone big, if you can't do some crazy step up ladder trade where you move for someone and then flip him for Beal, like, then it was like, yeah, he's going to be there. He's going to be there as an option.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure when I brought this up in November, I had presented it like that. I'm like, he's going to be there. It's like not like Fournier is not going to be available. The likes of Fournier will be available. We'll have options for the TPE. And it seems like, you know, whether you want to see it as a positive or a negative, if you want to see it as like, well, we settled or we just went for the worst case scenario. But it's good. I mean, it's an upgrade. He's a talent. He can shoot. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Bargain as well with the two second round picks there. Just to wrap this one up, guys, how would you rate this trade deadline from 1 to 10? 10 being like orgasmic excitement, 1 being super boring. How was this trade deadline for you guys?
0. Absolute 0, if I can go that low, if you don't mind my saying.
I love it.
Just because of all the people, like 3 out of 15, I don't know what the odds are, but why Tice? Like, I get that it's expiring. Just let him go, then. Come on.
Should have made that shot, man. He should have made that shot.
If he made that shot, then we wouldn't be stuck with fucking Mo and Luke. Like, you guys, I'm telling you guys right now, and if anyone's still listening, you're not going to like Mo and Luke, okay? I'm sorry. You're just going to be like, oh, I miss Tice.
I mean, you know our fan base, though. Mo Wagner is going to have, like, 3 rebounds in a game, and they're going to be calling him the next Kevin McHale.
But my honest opinion, I'd call it, like, a 6 or 7, because I would have liked to have gotten, like, a Barnes, or honestly, like, Vucevic would have been cool. But, like, I don't know. Fournier is pretty good, and I wasn't expecting that. So, good shit for you, Larbird. For like actually predicting that's pretty cool. I did not see that one coming. I didn't know that they were going to get rid of him, but yeah, I think that's a good pickup, and like we can see what we have in Mo and Luke Kornet. I mean, I guess that's the idea that Danny Ainge had, like, why not these two? I imagine they're both like 22, 25, something like that, so like let's see what we got.
Yeah, those guys. Mo Wagner's 23 and Kornet is 25.
Yeah, so like, why not? Let's see what they can do for the rest of the season. You know, sure they'll do good in defense at least. So, yeah, and then at the end of the season, in the summer, we can re-sign Tice, maybe. You know, if he gets undervalued, because he's not going to work in Billy Donovan's system at all. It's not going to work. Okay, he only works in Brad's system. Brad lifted him up. Okay, it's not going to work somewhere else. He's a great player. Works
maybe
with Brad.
Is holding him back. Maybe he's going to have a superstar season.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Oh man, I fucking hope so. Honestly, yeah, good. Yeah, go on.
That's great. Yeah, well, look, hopefully Time Lord can find minutes ahead of Luke Kornet there. It's going to be interesting to see. Fungos, thanks for coming on, man. I wish it were under better circumstances. I wish we could be celebrating some Tice things rather than commiserating, but that's how it goes. But this was great. Thanks again.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me on.
I wanted to say, just because I don't want to make it seem like I'm actually bragging, I predict different things every week, and you know, every once in a while you get something right. So I'm sure there's a million things that I got wrong. You miss every shot, 100% of shots you don't take.
That's right.
I will just say, Ben, that, you know, we've spent so much time talking about that TPE. I feel like before we wrap this up, we just have to say, you know, we've talked so much about the TPE, and we've talked about, you know, if there's ever going to be a year where Ainge makes a trade, this is the one. I feel a little bit vindicated that we had all those conversations and aren't just sitting here with eggs on our face where it's like we did absolutely nothing. Getting a 20-point-per-game scorer who can shoot efficiently, that's a something. That's something. So we got something. I'm excited. On a scale, I'd agree with Fongo, it's probably like a 6 or 7, and maybe a little bit more if we get an Andre Drummond or something in the buyout market. But I'm pumped. I think this is a great, great day. It was exciting.
Well, there is still $11 million in TPE that could potentially be used in the offseason. So we can't say goodbye to our TPE fatigue yet. The show must go on, unfortunately.
Fournier is an unrestricted free agent, if he decides to leave, then we could just sign and trade him and get another big TPE. So we could just keep the TPE train moving, baby.
I fully expect Fournier to do the whole speech. I want to get my number retired here. You know, I'm going to wear number 99. And that's why I expect no one else to. That kind of thing. Only for him to leave to, you know, sign with the Brooklyn Nets in the offseason. So we'll see.
Oh no, ew.
Fungus, was there any other I listed three names. Is there anything you want to tell us? Is there any secret you've been harboring that you just want to get off your chest about who you actually are?
No. I don't actually have any secret identities in the I can just settle that right now. No, I don't have any other accounts like that I use on Reddit to post, like,
you are
on
just
the
Fungus.
Boston Celtics or like NBA or anything like that.
Okay.
I'm just Fongos. Right. I just go on there and I do my thing. And yeah, that's about it. No Jonos, none of that. It's funny because, yeah, no, I'm not him.
It's good stuff. All right, Ben, I give you permission to wrap it up.
Yeah, sorry,
personally, Ben. Personally, I'm relieved to find out that you both aren't the same person. So that's, I think, maybe something the other fans can resonate with. But Fongos, this was great. You're welcome back anytime. Thanks again for coming
on. Awesome. Yeah, thank you guys. That was great.
All right, that's going to do it for this one. Thanks to Fongos. That was awesome having him on. Thanks to Larbird33. We'll be back on Sunday with Tom Westerholm for our in-depth trade deadline breakdown. Until then, go Celtics. Peace.